Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Staying By Your Band. I'm Tom Dekar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. What's up, Tommy?
What's up? You know, Tom, we usually don't talk about the band right away, but I had a very stressful day, and yes. I had one smile today, and that was when you brought up what Max Fine had suggested doing for the show, and you said, "Say Anything." And I said, "Ooh, I love Say Anything. I was just thinking about them." Mm-hmm. I said, "Why was I thinking about them?" And then I remembered because Max Fine, our guest, tweeted about them yesterday.
So, am I good to talk?
You could talk.
No. We got in about another 20 minutes.
All right, no cool. I'll see y'all later.
Also, I'm excited to talk about Say Anything. Because I listened to them because you had tweeted about listening to them.
Yeah.
And I hadn't listened to that album in forever. It was like one of my big high school albums.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one of those immediate transported me back. But I also think we should bring up, we had a long-running joke on the Patreon. You were a frequent Patreon guest,
yes,
during,
sir,
2020, mm-hmm, the height of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we used to always say that you would never be on the main feed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like I'm cheating. I really don't feel good about this.
Well, we haven't fully committed to that this isn't going to be a Patreon episode. We're going to see how it goes.
No, I understand. And I've seen zero of those dollars. And I haven't forgotten about it either. It's
I'll think about it.
I'm actually here to confront both of you guys.
And you've
I'm
seen our new pools,
money,
right?
Yeah. And the cars.
Yes, we are really making a killing on this fucking thing.
Yeah, look, you're moving to L.A., dude.
Still basically in the hole for the equipment.
The other one wanted solid gold microphones.
They look good. They feel good.
Well, we also do record in Trump Tower. Exactly. Look good, feel good, sound good. But we're excited to have old Maxi Fine on. Max, how's life for you, brother?
Oh, buddy, it's great. Everything couldn't be better.
Is that true?
No, but it's, you know, it could be way worse.
Yeah, I feel like that's good. You got to be positive. Today I made a list of like things I was what do you call that, like
a gratitude list.
Yeah, and you know, ooh, I was struggling to come up with anything, but it did make me look out at the world a little more positively. I was like, I get to do the podcast, get to see my friends, get to do a stand up set rather than be like, I gotta do this fucking. As fate would have it, I stopped recording right when I was jokingly bitching about doing the podcast. Anyways, but no, I'm trying to be more positive these days.
It's important.
Tough, but I think maybe just your outlook being positive might fix some of this shit.
This is how you're announcing that you are positive for COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Or you sound like a guy that just quit drinking.
Which I do think, well, that's not true. Having a little whiskey. No, I just started drinking. Really drinking. What I was doing before was amateur hour.
That's right. Welcome to the big show, dude. We're happy to have you here.
Oh, you don't get to say that, you sober people.
I know. I get high a lot.
Yeah, that's why we actually brought you on. We're not even recording right now. This is a
great
intervention of sorts.
Well, also, Max, we would plug your podcast, but Jimmy Fallon just did.
I know. That motherfucker already took over, dude.
That's very exciting.
It was exciting. Cool. It was really cool, dude. And, you know, pretty exciting to watch. Michael Rowland, the guy you do the podcast with. He did stand up on Fallon.
He did a great job.
But in the middle of it, we're in the green room waiting for him, Fallon's about to come in. Michael looks at all of us. There's four of us in the green room. Says, I'm gonna go blow my asshole out. And as soon as he went to the bathroom, Fallon came in.
Oh, Lord.
And then I had to, you know, I had to explain to a talk show host, sorry, my friend is a nervous pooper. He'll be a few minutes back, but he's coming. He's on his way.
Oh,
and then someone
God.
Had to go into the bathroom and stop him in the middle of it and be like, you got to come back into the green room.
You got to stop in the middle of that?
And then he
Lord.
Did, and then he went back and finished.
That's insane. Max, what a deeply upsetting story to tell.
No, what?
And then you blew out the mic as hard as you could.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, dude, I got excited. I
it's
think about people
good.
Pooping. It gets me really juiced.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
This type of show.
Hell yeah, dude.
Well, what's your podcast called? Tell the
people. It's called In the Minivan.
In the Minivan.
And it's a podcast, coincidentally, about friendship, music, and staying positive, baby. You gotta stay positive.
True.
Like the old study said.
Craig
Finn. Well, dude, yeah,
we've seen together.
Dude, are you going this year?
I haven't bought tickets yet, but I always end up going.
I'm going. Yeah, I think I'm gonna do all four nights.
Are you doing all four?
I think so, dude. I watched my old roommate do it last year, and he was miserable at the end of it. But I think it seems like a good time.
So that is just in case you don't know, that is the Hold Steady. They play four nights in a row, Brooklyn Bowl every year. It's called Massive Nights. And it is I always go to one. It's always my favorite, like my favorite show of the year. It's always so good.
I only went to one last year. Did you went to the Boys and Girls in America one?
Yeah,
dude,
we were up there. Yeah,
that was
with every comedian in America.
I know, man, and everybody got COVID, and it was quite a day, dude. Quite a night, man. Yeah. That was like the first concert I went back to since the pandemic. That I was like, oh, this is like back, and we're having fun, dude. That was a party and a half. Hmm. I did so much acid that night.
Oh shit!
But you're a big music man. You're always tweeting five albums you're listening
every week.
To. Mm-hmm. And the album that caught my eye was "Say Anything's Is a Real Boy."
Yes, sir.
Which is, they made a bold choice. Max Bemis and Co. They chose to do they opened with a double album, which is insane.
Yes,
it's not advisable.
Dude.
But
it's a mark of genius.
It ended up being a great album, but it's like such a bold thing to be like. Yeah. Like, imagine if you did that with stand up. If your first album was 2 hours,
oh
like
God.
That's like. Oh no, that wasn't the first one. But Dane Cook did that with like his second album. I think.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Maybe it was his first, but I'm pretty sure it's the second. I think the first one was Harmful If Swallowed, if I'm not mistaken.
Well,
the second was Retaliation, and that's a double album.
Well, Say Anything definitely did more than one double album,
yes.
too. And I never consider Is a Real Boy a double album because their others are like 30 tracks long.
Yeah,
So this is just like, this feels like an EP almost. But I love this album. And someone put it on a car ride the other day, and I was like, oh shit, I remember just how great this is. Even though it's like written by a 20-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. It's so fun.
I didn't know what this band was going to sound like, to be
really?
Honest.
Really?
Yeah, I'd never heard any of this. And I was getting them mixed up with some like very soft pop stuff of some kind, I think. I don't know which guy. I have this problem every time when we talked about something corporate, I had the same thing where like, there's a bunch of bands that have kind of similar names to me, or they blended in together to me. And one of them was like four teenage girls.
Yeah.
I was not into it. I can't remember what it was.
Well, I think with Say Anything, there's so much a part of that like early mid 2000s emo music that everybody just kind of wanted to lump together as dog shit. And a lot of it was, and I loved every single piece of it.
Uh-huh.
But I think Say Anything kind of, they transcend that genre, dude. They're smart boys. They're a bunch of nerds, dude. The singer went to like Vassar, I think, or Sarah Lawrence. Is that right?
I don't know. You know, I need to do a mea culpa right now. It is not a double album.
It's not?
No.
I was
the next one is.
Yes.
Yeah,
In Defense of the Genre, right?
In Defense of the Genre, which I also listened to today.
So that one's great, too.
On the same pace as Dane Cook. Good.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, they're doing the Cook method. Yeah.
And that's how you can tell, dude. I can't wait. I mean, he's probably dating a 12-year-old at this point. Who knows?
Oh, come off it now.
Okay, sorry.
No, he famously came out against the alternate punk scene's like abuse of women. And
Max Bemis?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he said it. And they pulled one of their songs, which is about him being sexy or something like that.
Wow, I Can Get Sexual Too.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I don't like that title. I didn't listen to the song. But
I think a lot of Say Anything is like hyper pretentious.
Uh-huh.
This album specifically, it's just like, because you remember when you're like 20 years old and you think you're smarter than everybody you've ever met?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah, dude. You might still be doing it, dude. You can still do it.
I don't think I'm smarter than a fifth grader at this point.
Well, Max Bemis did. And like, I think, Tommy, correct me if I'm wrong, this whole album is like right after he got out of a psych hospital, right?
So, yeah, he has bipolar disorder,
yes.
I believe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it definitely seems manic.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know? But, yeah, I am just struggling to figure out if this is a single album or double album.
I'm pretty sure it's a single album.
Yeah. Because there's a bonus disc,
yes,
that has seven more songs. So I think I
that
know,
feels
it's in,
like
it's
a
in a murky
album.
Area.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's long as shit.
The important thing is no one can be mad at me for being right or wrong.
No, sir, you're absolutely right. You nailed it every time.
And in fact, you have to be actively happy. Oh yeah, he's a New York boy.
Yeah, man, and he's Jewish, but converted to Christianity later.
Oh,
and
so that wised all, up.
So yeah, brother. I mean, let me tell you something. A Jew named Max writing an album is always something I'm going to listen to. That's sure. That's music for me. Right. And I'm hoping to convert later this year if I'm lucky.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. He moved from New York to Hollywood as a boy. And then he was raised in a strong Jewish environment. Doesn't sound like he was that strong if he converted. You know?
Well, he married the woman from Isley. Who, did you ever listen to them?
No.
They were another band, and he married the singer, I think. And I think she was pretty religious, and he converted. And I don't know, man. There's a couple band singers that when they like start Jewish, turn into Christians, and it's like, I'm not sure how I feel about losing one, but it's like every now and then they put out a cool song, so I'm like, it was worth it.
Yeah.
But I think this album is just really, I saw them like tour on this album when I was a kid, and I was like, this
oh,
is.
Oh, shit.
They do.
In Atlanta?
Yeah, they opened for Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, wow.
And whoa. I remember going to See Say Anything, not Dashboard, in like an opera house, and it was super fucking rad. And I got a fucking signature from the guy, and he just signed it. He wrote the word Max on it. Like, didn't sign it. He, like, it was all line work.
It just says Max.
Yeah, dude. And I remember thinking to myself as a kid, I was like, damn, I hope I get famous enough one day to do that. And meanwhile, he's, like, the most mid-tier celebrity of all time.
But he's not mid.
No, sir.
Yeah, so I did not know a lot going into this. I will say I was pleasantly surprised.
You've listened to these already?
No. Oh yeah, I listened to them today.
Yeah.
That's why we haven't sent you send them early so that we get a little taste. But this album was very important to you, Mac Man, huh?
Yeah, this is just one of those albums that I listened to a million times, and just like when you were sending those songs, I noticed that you put them all from that album. It's really just that album and In Defense of the Genre were the two I really listened to.
Me too.
I remember giving the other ones a shot, and there was like a first one that was like self-released that I guess some people would say is canon, but I don't. But Is a Real Boy, I think of as like, that's their one.
Yes, yeah. Well, there were a few songs on, there was a self-titled album they did that had that song, I Hate Everybody.
I Hate Everyone.
I love that song. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, dude. Every time I listen to this band, it's like, the older I get, the more I'm like, I remember this part of my life.
Yeah,
And the songs that they write, like on Is a Real Boy, a lot of it is just an angry kid. And I remember being an angry kid being like, fucking yeah, dude. Tell me the truth. Speak it to me. And it's like wearing girls' jeans the entire time. And it's cool, man. And like, I still listen. It's the same way I feel about like Taking Back Sunday. I can listen to Taking Back Sunday all day, every day, and immediately be 14 again. Like, yeah, women are mean to me, dude. You know? Like,
I think of this as like one of those bands where they had songs that I could get my friends who didn't like emo stuff to like. Like, I could play Alive with the Glory of Love, and people who didn't like the stupid like Fall Out Boy stuff I liked would still be like, this song is great.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
It
and that meant a lot to me at the time.
Yeah, man. And it didn't. That song had a video on MTV.
Mm.
And I remember that being a thing where people were like, okay, maybe it's cool. And it's like, dude, you don't even know the deep cuts on this. Wait till you hear I Want to Know Your Plans,
oh,
dude.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Me and Ian Fidance, for some reason, bounded over I Want to Know Your Plans.
Dude, there was a comic in Atlanta who, this was years ago, and I remember he was like, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend. It's like, how are you going to do it? He's like, well, I'm going to be in a bar. I'm going to get down on one knee, and I'm going to have I Want to Know Your Plans play. And I was like, dog. And this was 10 years ago. And at the time, I was like, dude, you're 32 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're married now, and they're living happily ever
after. Well, there you go. Hey, come on.
Yeah,
what was he supposed to do? Do it at a damn hockey game?
That's Max's dream.
It's not far off.
Go to a break.
A lot of ice. I'm trying to go to the North Pole to propose to a lady. I'm trying to take her as cold as it gets, say like, hey, baby, it's cold now, but let me warm your heart for the rest of your life. You know, that's what
that's
I'm looking
good.
To do.
And
not
also,
bad.
If she says no at the North Pole, you can say, you know what? NP at the NP.
That's right. Or I could just take her jacket off and be like, now you're going to stay really cold until you say yes.
Don't be doing that.
That's not right. Don't get canceled on our show.
Okay, never mind.
But what you could do is, you know, hey, I'm already in the North Pole. Why don't I cook that Mrs. Claus, you know?
You fuck Santa Claus?
Yeah. He's the one with the toys. Come on. Mrs. Claus ain't got shit to offer.
That's right, dude. That's what everybody says about Santa. Mrs. Claus ain't shit, dude.
Uh-huh. She ain't shit.
Dude, and as a Jew, I've been saying that my whole life, dude.
What does she even do? like all day, you know?
I like the idea that this is just a regular couple. And he's just talking about her this way. What does she even do? It's like, well, she is married to him.
Right.
But, it's like, but what does she do?
What does she do? Also, how much money does Santa even have?
I don't think Santa lives in a normal economy. I think that's you're thinking financials. You got to remember he's got slaves. He's got a house.
That's fair.
He doesn't need money.
That's a good point.
It's also a good sign for our culture that not living in a normal economy means owning a house.
Yep.
He's outside of what we live in. That's so he owns a house.
Could you imagine if Santa had to live in an apartment this fall coming to NBC? The Santa in B2.
There's just 30 elves running around this tiny apartment bumping into each other. Can't get any toys made. Yeah,
it's not good.
Christmas Hygiene's is canceled.
Ensue. Yeah. And Christmas is probably, it is canceled actually in this culture. Anyways.
Well, there's at least a war on it.
Yep. I was looking up, is there controversy with this band too?
I don't know.
I was looking up, it says separating the art from Max Bemis, and it says, so this is a weird one. I don't want to come off that I'm shit-talking or whatever. I'm just kind of posing an issue I have here. Maybe if people have input, that's cool too. So I used to love Say Anything. I used to know majority of the albums off by heart. All the trivia, and I've met Max/Parker, and I've seen them live. They were honestly one of my favorite bands, and I even idolized Max. A few months back, there was a Bemis tweet. What's that? Yeah. Yep. A few months back, there was a Bemis tweet where he stated that he wrote little girls about emo, and sometimes in the someone in the comments made a Jesse Lacey Brand New joke because Brand New got canceled, right?
Oh, yes, they did. That's a band I've always wanted to talk about on any podcast, but I'm afraid to.
Someone made a Jesse Lacey joke switching the words of Beamdog's tweets, which spiraled into loads of people claiming Max's music was more perverted than Brand News. And Dumb Me commented, and Spores, which I don't... Do you know what that's a reference to?
I have no idea.
I've tweeted so much loving shit to Max in the past, even during Twitter Q&As catering to fans, so I didn't even think he'd respond. I also shared a thread that a friend of mine made a while ago of all the shit in the Lacey situation that no outlet covered, just for all the people with pitchforks and torches that can be seen here. He links it or whatever. I woke up the next day in shock. Max had released a series of aggressive tweets that went on for days. Him and Sherry blocked the girl who posted the thread and told her to wake up when realistically she wasn't even involved in the whole situation. I tweeted an apology to Max as well because I never meant for this, as did the person who made the joke in the first place, but he never responded. I never meant for any of it. I'm trying to find where this is like important, but it's that he was cybering with young fans.
I didn't know
is that
him
that.
Though Oliver appreciates it. This is confusing. This person might just be a kook.
I feel like, I mean, I don't want to say that I am, you know, on the pulse of emo music, but I feel like if Max Bemis did something fucked up, I would have heard about it, right?
Yeah, it might be that he's just going on Twitter rants, because when I search his name with controversy, a lot of it is what the fuck is going on with Max Bemis, his Twitter's crazy. But they think it's just that he's going through manic episodes on Twitter.
That could very well be the case.
It's well documented that he has mental health issues, you know. But
yeah, and because like the Jesse Lacey stuff is bad. That's like and it sucks. Like Brand New was my favorite band.
Oh,
they
really?
Were like, man, the day that all that news came out was the day their last vinyl showed up in the mail.
No.
Yeah, and it was like a couple days after I moved to New York. It was my first like purchase that was mailed to my new apartment. And oh man, it's really a bummer. It's like it's bad what he was doing and shit, like just talking to children and like grooming them and stuff.
Oh, that might be what that was about.
Yeah, and then you like read through the lyrics and it's like, oh, this is really fucked up now. And it is a bummer, but like I saw Say Anything open for Brand New once. That was one of the times I saw them. Yeah, and like, dude, Jesse Lacey came out to sing Belt with him, and it was super fucking rad. And then you just hear all these stories, and it's like, oh, no. Dude, like, everyone's fallible, but it's like, There's something weird about emo music and talking to young women. I don't know why that seems to be such a like regular thing in that style of music, but it definitely is, and it's why I don't tell people I listen to emo music anymore. Like, I was never embarrassed about the music part of it, but as soon as that came out, it's like, oh shit, dude, this is Bad News Bears, and I'm wearing a t-shirt right now I shouldn't be wearing, you know? It's like, that's always how I feel about it.
And your That'd t-shirt said, grooming is cool.
Well, it said Jesse Lacey was right. That's the only thing that the t-shirt
said. Fun movie.
I made it myself.
I guess this premise falls flat pretty fast, but you're wearing a brand new shirt, and then that news breaks, and it's you trying to get home without getting your ass
kicked
by the woke mob.
Meanwhile, there's like six people in the world that know what happened.
Yeah. Also, you could just change shirts or put on a hoodie or something.
I just take my shirt off, dude. Yeah.
But for some reason in this movie, you can't do that.
No, of course not. That is a fun sketch idea. Just a guy wearing a canceled
shirt. No, I'm thinking three-part film series. Somehow we could tie in that Santa Claus from the apartment.
What's that, 16 Blocks movie? We're just getting home in a brand new t-shirt?
I got to get back to my apartment where I live with Santa Claus. Yeah.
Well, dude, in Brand New, my favorite was like right before all that shit came out, I got a ton of flack from friends because a picture of Martin Shkreli came out wearing a brand new t-shirt.
Oh, wow.
And everybody was like, oh, look at your favorite band, Pharma Bro. And it's like, they're better than him. They're better than him. And then that came out. I was like, fuck, dude. I got to stop buying their merch.
Yeah. That is tough when a celebrity likes the same thing as you, especially like one that people don't like. Like, and my music has changed recently, and it's a bummer that like, I share the same fan base with some people that I really disagree with, because the only music I really like anymore is Dave Chappelle singing Creep.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that really I'm playing all day.
I've got
I'm
a playlist
around.
Of six different live versions, and it's all I listen to.
And if it ain't Chappelle singing it, I don't want to fucking hear it, all right?
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Also, if he's singing a different song, I don't want to fucking hear that either.
I agree,
well,
brother.
You're in luck.
He is a one-trick pony.
And just some of the Chappelle bros who come out to it's not my scene, man.
Yeah, he really did ruin Radiohead for a while.
We should have somebody come on and defend Chappelle singing Chappelle. not any of his material, only him singing Creep.
I love that idea.
Anyways, we should listen to some music.
Let's
what
do
you
it.
Guys think? Let me grab my phone here. Because
I
right
think
back.
I've botched every single fact possible.
No, dude, this is perfect podcast.
But I'm going off emotion. You know,
and
I just love this
important.
Album.
Especially with Say Anything. It's all about emotion.
That's true.
A couple of them had like real musical backgrounds. Did you, Tommy, ever get into Jameson Parker?
No, I never do.
One of the guys from Jameson or Parker, I believe it's Parker, is in Say Anything.
Oh,
yeah, he's the guitarist. And that was a fun thing that they told me when I saw him live. And I was like, I don't give a shit.
Damn. Hey, fuck you, actually.
Yeah, eat shit, dude. I'm sorry, why are you talking to me?
I'm trying to enjoy the show.
Yeah. Why did you stop playing to come up to me specifically to tell me that you're also in Jameson Parker?
All right, let's hear Belt first. What
yeah, this is the opening of the album.
There's a big intro that you're probably going to want to skip past. Yeah,
Or we
could
play.
Listen to. Yeah, it's up to you.
I thought it was a fun opening.
It is fun.
It is.
Yeah,
I think it's a great way to open it.
I think we should listen to it.
Yeah.
Why not? All right.
The record begins with a song of rebellion.
They caught
Very cool opening.
I love that opening.
Yeah.
And I remember when I first downloaded, because I initially downloaded the album on like LimeWire, Kazaa, or one of those, and it didn't have the whole intro. It just had the part where it says, and the record begins with a song of rebellion. And I remember being like, this is cool. And then I heard the other part. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I like that. It reminds me of the opening to the Car Seat Headrest album.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you are now listening to Car Seat Headrest.
Yeah, well, I like, because it's trying to, I think it's trying to establish he's in a therapist's office or something like that, right? Huh. And that's the whole thing, and his therapist is like, that's it? That's the whole thing? Your anxiety is built around that? And it's, I didn't understand it when I was like 14 or whatever hearing it, but now like, I get it, and I'm like, that's what my therapist would say to me. He's like, you're being a fucking idiot, dude. And it's fun, because it's like, it's a whole song about how the industry sucks and how you won't sell out and all this. And it's so heavily written from a 20-year-old perspective. And, right? Like,
yeah.
I felt that way when I was 20. And then as soon as I was like, I don't know, 21, I was like, nah, dude, I'll take a paycheck. That would be pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. I mean, the industry's also changed a lot. So it's a different thing, kind of. I like that he says that he wouldn't sell his belt to the industry, and it was his father's belt once. And I'll tell you this right now. Sounds like a pretty long-lasting belt.
Leather, for sure.
Where do you buy this thing?
This was back when America made.
But I don't know. The arc of this record always turns into I'm standing up for something, and also my friends are very important to me. Like, the way this song ends is just like a group chant of dudes being like, no, dude, we're tough. We're not going to sell out. And it's like, all right, but why not? You're not making any points here.
Yeah.
It's just an angry kid, and I love that. And like, you know, as a Jewish man named Max that also spent time in a psych hospital, I thought it was brilliant and exciting. And it's like, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a good song.
Yeah.
That's really all
the,
it has
the
to
end
be.
The end is fun when he's singing, so what say you and all your friends meet all my friends in the alley with knives?
Yeah, dude.
That's a pretty cool way to end the song. I'm going to end. I'll play a little bit of that.
It's so good. And this is when Brand New would come out. Dude. Big drama would end here. It's so cool. And man, at the time it was so exciting because it was John Nolan comes out. He's from Taking Back Sunday. And he famously had a falling out with Jesse Lacey from Brand New. They were best friends growing up. And then they dated the same girl. It was a whole thing.
Oh,
and they come out to chant this part together. And it was like, the boys are back, dude. This is great news for the team.
This was before the Avengers. This was when
had. Yeah, dude, that's right. Tell you what, dude, the Avengers never took sevenfold, neither.
What's fucked up is if you play that song at the same time as the big knife scene in Anchorman,
it
lines up perfectly.
That's what I heard, dude, but I won't do it because I don't
want to. Don't do it.
I don't want to spoil perfect art.
No.
But Tom, so you've never really given them a song. What do you like? If that was something you heard today, is that something you would listen to?
So that's a good question. I've listened to it now 3 times. I enjoyed it each time. The question will be if when I leave here tonight, when I get on the train to go to my little shows, if I go, you know what I want to hear again is that song. And then to be fully honest, I don't know that that will happen.
That's fine.
But that doesn't mean I'm not enjoying it.
There are a couple other tunes.
Yeah, I haven't decided exactly how I feel about it yet. I'm going to kind of decide as I go. But I will say I was pleasantly surprised hearing it. I thought that track, I loved the way it started.
Yeah.
Thought it was very cool. I was rocking out to a few of these songs. And so It's possible that I'll say, you know what? I want to rage around tonight a little bit.
Get a little say anything, dude.
It is tough when with a song like, this is a long album now that I'm looking at the track.
Well, there's a lot of bonus tracks.
Yeah,
there's
right. This is where all the confusion stems from.
Yes, because let me see. I think the album ends with, fuck.
A Walk Through Hell.
That sounds
maybe the bonus song. And then Wow, I Can Get Sexual Too is on here too.
That's definitely a bonus song.
It was weird too because this was
Admitted
at the time.
Is the last song.
This is at a time where I would have a CD, but I would also have the iTunes or the LimeWire. Uh-huh. So it's like, I feel like it was like that mixed media thing.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
I probably had two different versions of it.
Dude, yeah. I had so many different versions of so many albums that were like, "You're listening to a Vagrant Record sample," and that was like just a normal thing that I got used to in songs.
Yeah.
But this definitely it ends with "Admit It." "Admit It" is the last song on the actual album.
So let's listen to that one last, because you have that on your list here. The song that I was listening to that I was like, I think I might be too old for this now, is Every Man Has a Molly.
That's why I put it in there.
Yeah.
There's some shit in this song where it's like, this is what they would open with live, and you'd hear it, and it's like, even at 14, I was like, this guy's very angry at his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and play it. Yeah. I'm talking about it. Every Man Has a Molly, and I wish every man had some Molly that I could All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's just the angriest dude.
Sure.
And like,
it does sound, the sound doesn't bother me. It's just like hearing him say, "I'll never have rough sex with Molly."
Yeah.
I hate that one. Is like,
it's really fucking, there's a lot, like, I don't know, dude. There's, especially like, you know, we all do stand up and there's things that like, I think everybody has kind of their own rules that they set when they write and they talk about shit on stage. And it's like, I don't know. No, am I wrong? Or Oh, yeah. It's like, I think about like talking about breakups on stage. It's like there's certain things that, you know, you can talk about going through a breakup. You can talk about how you're feeling through it and you make jokes about that. But as soon as you like throw the other person under the bus, it's like, who's this asshole on stage, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's usually not a great look.
It's never a good look. And
well, occasionally it's really cool.
Uh-huh. Right. No, I'm sorry. No, you're right. Hey, and that's the difference between you and me. That's why you've got late-night sets, and I'm over here without headphones on.
You remember my famous late-night sets where I talked about how I'll never have rough sex with one of my bitch exes again. That's not... No, I don't do that shit. It's weird because like sometimes you'll see somebody do that and you're like, and they're vague enough and it's like just a breakup joke. I think
sure.
It'd be funny. But when it gets really personal and like it's just out of anger, you're like, this sucks.
Well, yeah, dude, if anybody said their ex-girlfriend's name on stage into a microphone, I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
Right.
And maybe Molly Connolly's not a real person. But
apparently it's not. It's a conglomeration of multiple people.
Yeah, it's someone named Molly and someone named Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Famously dated Max Bemis.
Mm-hmm. It's but, Molly Shannon and
Jennifer Molly Connelly. Shannon and Jennifer Connelly. I get it. I get it.
Sure.
They're both horrible bitches.
I love that sequel to Horrible Bosses. Horrible Bitches.
But yeah, man, and then it's like, I sent you that song just because I thought it is kind of like a crazy fucking thing to say on a song. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, he was 20 years old.
Right.
And boy, howdy, do I wish somebody had talked some sense into me when I was 20 years old. You know, I wish there was a podcast about my music when I was 20 years old, talking about how much of a fucking idiot I was. But the song itself is great.
Oh, wait, hold on. Oh, this is a joke. Never mind. I was like about to click on an article about the real Molly Connelly, and then I realized it was from thehardtimes.net. Yeah. You pieces of shit.
If you're a music fan, they got some fun stuff.
Yeah. We should have somebody from Hard Times on the show.
I was in a picture once.
Yeah. How nice.
Pretty cool. Pretty exciting.
Unrelated or for the hard times?
Yeah, my soul got taken by one of
No, it was for the soft times. It was a group of men that can't get boners anymore. And
So the next song is Yellow Cat / Red Cat.
No, I love this song.
Continue on about your soft penis.
No, I talk about it enough on my own podcast. I don't need to bring it into someone else's.
All right, let's hear Yellow Cat / Red Cat.
This was my favorite song on this album for a long time. I
Yellow
love this song.
Yeah, that song is cool. Tommy, how do you feel about that song?
That's a great one. You know, it's funny. I love this album so much. I was just excited to re-listen to these songs. I think we would have different favorites, which is interesting, that we could both like love the same thing, that we both liked it when we were the same age and had different picks. But I do think that's a great song. Yeah,
I think it's that one. It's just like every time I hear it now, I'm like, you know, I think we've all got friends that a lot of them just kind of sit around doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I get that and I understand that. And they're like my boys. But like if I'm dating someone, like, why the fuck are you hanging out? You know, and it's like, no, dude, these are my friends. This is who they have been for always, dude. And I love it. This was one of the first songs I remember when I listened to it being like, I know, like I remember being a kid and when I really didn't understand a lot of music I was listening to and being like, this one makes sense to me.
Yeah.
And I
sure.
really, really fucking loved that. And that's why it stuck out so much. And it was the first time I was like, oh, I understand metaphor in a song that's not too confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I love this song.
Yeah, this is a good one. It reminds me a lot of my friend Tommy. And I won't go in any further into that.
But I don't think you have to.
I do want to know more about this feline war between the yellow cat and the red cat. And I'm lucky neither of my cats are these colors.
I know. I got a black and white guy and I got a brown guy, but I don't have any yellows or Reds.
Yeah, feels too McDonald's ketchup and mustard.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's the war, dude. I think you just found out the answer to your own question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's self-learning.
God, I don't like the line of cat is just a cat. That's bullshit. Also, I do like the tip of the hat to Cousin Greg.
Dude, he's watching MTV.
Big Succession fan.
Damn, I didn't even think about that.
It is the same character, if you think about it. It really is the same guy. I would love to hear the showrunners from Succession be like, we actually came up with Greg from a Say Anything song.
All right, we got one more song here. I want you to know I was taking my Be Real picture of you.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm not on Be Real yet. I got to get up there.
You are now, bitch.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, there's another picture to add to your collection.
Thank you.
I was in a picture today.
I can't wait to frame it, dude.
honey, listen.
I got to call my mom. I'm so excited. Oh, geez.
I was captured by the very photo today. All right.
Yep, soul's gone now.
Yep. Last song here is Admit It, which I'm going to play while waterboarding Max. and yelling the very lyrics.
So, just to set this song up, it's fucking bonkers. This is a thing, like...
That's another cat that I like.
That's my cat. But
oh, you named your cat Bonkers?
I should.
After the cartoon?
No, after the comedy clubs in Florida.
Oh,
but
sure.
I love this song, because, like, this is one when I was a kid that I was like, this is my, like, Catcher in the Rye song, where it's like you're a kid and you're like, this shit is everything. Mm-hmm. I fucking believe in this. And then you get older and you're like, what the fuck is this? This is insane, dude.
This gives me serious nostalgia to, like, looking out at the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just
yeah.
like, these fucks don't know. They're
these
just
posers,
yeah, dude. And the reason I, like, came back to this album this week, this girl sent me a message. She was like, about music, and she was like, yeah, I'm listening to Admit It, and it's like, I think I'm that person. I was like, you're too old to be this person.
Damn.
But yeah, dude, it's just like the angriest child that sounds smart using big words, and it's like, this is crazy. But I still love the song.
Oh, I just realized I was looking at the song facts to Admit It Again from Say Anything, and I was like,
They did another one?
They did a song called Admit It Again. Kind of weird, like
Whoa.
A sequel.
Yeah, they got to like, well, there's a lot to apologize for
sure.
in this one.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and listen to it. Here is Admit It.
Despite your pseudo-bohemian appearance and vaguely leftist doctrine of beliefs, you know nothing about art or sex that you couldn't read in any trendy New York underground fashion magazine. Prototypical nonconformist, you are a vacuous soldier of the thrift store Gestapo. You adhere to a set of standards and tastes that appear to be determined by an unseen panel of hipster judges.
Bullshit!
The thumbs up and thumbs down to incoming and outgoing trends and styles of music and art. Go analog, baby!
You're so postmodern.
You're diving face forward into an antiquated past.
It's disgusting. It's offensive. Don't stick your nose up in the air.
I mean, there are a few songs that I think about, like, if someone came up to me and said the lyrics to this song, like, in conversation, mm-hmm. I would look them dead. Like, in this one specifically, if someone's like, you know nothing about art or sex, and it's like, if somebody said that to me, I'd look them dead in the eye and be like, do you know who my father is? And then I would leave. I just can't get over how, like, cringy this is.
Yeah, that one is, it reminds me of some comedians that I don't like.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's the thing, though. It's like, I think about this all the time. Like, I, you know, you move to New York, you think it's like, ooh, I'm going to meet so many smart people and philosophers and college professors that wear turtlenecks. And then it's just like squatters on Twitter. And it's the same, right? Like, that's the same shit. But it's all guys that sound like this.
He did kind of predict podcasting with sitting in a circle pontificating to each other.
Absolutely.
I was like, oh, no, we're sitting in a circle.
That's a little different, though. We're talking about, well, we're talking about him. And
I never pontificated a day in my day.
That's right, dude. What am I, a goddamn Pontius Pilate? I don't pontificate no nothing, dude. Kiss Jesus on the cheek and say goodbye-bye. That's what I'm on. Is that Pontius Pilate?
Yeah, good job.
All right, cool. Hell yeah.
Wow, this is crazy. After Tommy's big Bible rant the other day. And,
well, also, he is not the one who kissed Jesus on the cheek. That was Judas.
That was Judas? Yeah. Damn it, dude.
Yeah, well, he was like one of the big guys in there. You might want to read about his ass.
No. I was talking about, we're talking about manic episodes on this show. And the other day I went and assigned every guy in our group chat a character from the Bible that they are most like based on the ways they've wronged me personally.
Sure.
Oh, and good. That seems healthy, dude. Yeah.
It took about an hour and a half.
It's a group chat of six people and it still took an hour and a half? I do that every year. I wind up in a group chat where I assign characters of loss to people. Based on that, it's the same. They're all, you know, I get it.
I like that you said that kind of Italian. Lost to people.
Yeah, dude. Wanderers.
Sure. We got to get to the comments from the very people who listen to the show who decided to say anything about
it. Ooh.
But yeah, Tommy did assign. What did I get assigned? Oh, yeah, Job, because of my many woes.
Whoa,
in this world.
Is also ironic. Whoa is my a great saying. On this that, yeah.
Dude, I can't get laid in this town without these pointy fucking shoes, dude.
Damn.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
All right. By the way, thank you to Colonel Tyson H. McNuggets for subscribing to our YouTube that I haven't posted on in 2 years, I don't think. All right, we on the Patreon. So if you're on the Patreon, you get your comments guaranteed to be read if you get them in time. It's only $3 a month, and you get some bonus content here and there. It's a good time, and you get ad-free apps, but most importantly, you get your stuff guaranteed to be read. First, we have from Derek Leedy. When I said say anything, he said, great movie. The simultaneous release of the Chili Peppers Mother's Milk alternate album cover with the Lone Sky was inspirational.
You ain't wrong about that.
Well, Ione Sky is the woman from Say Anything.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's the only time I've ever seen that name.
Yeah.
Ione. Yeah. Yeah.
It might be pronounced differently, but that is how I certainly
I think
it.
It's Ani.
Ione.
I think that's how you say it.
Mario Foradori. Some fun names today.
Yeah.
Says, I hate everyone is a good song. I'm just saying... anything.
It is a good song.
Yeah.
It is a great song, but it's on a different album, and I just wasn't familiar enough.
Whenever I see that title, I just think of the I hate everything about you.
I've told this story on the show, I'm sure, before, but there was a time when I was in a restaurant by myself. There was no other customers. The bartender put that song on. I was just like, what the fuck? It's just me in here.
I don't think you have told that. Really?
That's the best closing time song.
I was looking at him like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was like, middle of the day. Like, what do you hate about me? Eating a damn lunch.
It'd be funny if he played that like stuck in the middle with you, and you're standing to his left.
Call me a damn clown.
Oh boy. Or like one is the loneliest number. Oh boy. Closing time would also be funny to play in the afternoon.
Yeah.
All right, we got some more comments here. The next one is from Pete, who said, just gave them a quick blast. Early 2000s emo me would have loved this, but that was then. Damn.
That's
all right,
old
Pete.
Yeah, I understand where Pete's coming from, dude.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you either lock in with when you're young and you hold on to it forever because you're afraid to let go of the past, or you listen to it now and you're like, this is lame, dude.
True.
All right.
I agree.
Yep.
No. The next comment I have to open the app for, so give me a second here. Unless they deleted it. How do I see the damn comments? Here we go. Mary Vandersteeg says, I was obsessed with this band when I was in high school. They had just signed to a major label for their self-titled album release, and it was not good. I liked their earlier work so much more. The mainstream sound wasn't what I wanted to hear, but the band needed money. I think Max Bemis is a weirdo, but made some great music for high school me. That's fair.
I think that's the overarching sentence for the whole thing is he's a weirdo, but he made some very important music for high schoolers. Yeah.
I'm trying to see. I think that I fucked up and that first comment was not supposed to be for this. Doesn't matter. Or maybe they deleted it. I can't find it on the app. Does not matter. Did we get anything on the old Twitter?
Got a few tweets. Yes, we got. All right. First off, old bro, code bro said, "Is a Real Boy" was a high school staple. His graphic novel was a pretty trippy read.
Whoa,
as well. I've never read.
I didn't
the
know that
novel.
He wrote a graphic novel.
I'm like graphic novel. It's one of those mediums that I'm like incapable of.
Yeah, dude.
Committing to, and I'm sure there's great stuff, and I've tried, and I just can't.
I can't read it. It's like, dude, I was a huge Coheed and Cambria fan. I saw them like they were my fish. I saw them like 25 times, and they have like a fucking library of graphic novels that I just could not read.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I love that band. I have all their albums. I buy a t-shirt every show, and boy howdy, do I not give a fuck about that graphic novel.
Yeah, that's a tough medium. The only one that I like that I can think of ever even reading is Mouse and Mouse 2. Those are good.
Hey, thanks,
that's
man.
That's the Holocaust. That's a shout out to Max.
Thank you. I appreciate your support and allyship.
What's that guy's name? We were just talking.
Who
about
gives
that.
A shit?
like Art Spiegelman or someone.
I know. I had a girlfriend who I guess went to school with his nephew or whatever, and he was just incessantly made fun of for being Jewish. And he was like, "Do you know who my uncle is?" or something like that.
Oh boy.
Chillraiser said their cover of I've Got Your Money still makes me chuckle. I'll have to check that out. Andrew Ambrose Lee says, good movie. Mari Offman said, no, Molly Connolly knows what she did. And Brad Guy Fieri said, Max is so pretentious, it made his band unlistenable.
Ooh, I don't think he's wrong, but...
I mean, he's certainly pretentious.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we have... a bunch on the Facebook. We'll read a few. If you want them guaranteed, get on that Patreon. Pete Stagemeyer says, somehow they made a song about World War II and death camps into a banger, and I'm not sure how to feel about that, but it's a beautiful song.
So true. That's Alive with the Glory of Love, and that is the one that I think holds up as like, I think even if you didn't like this band in high school, I think you'd admit that that's a great song. Mm-hmm.
And I think like most of the lyrics are like a letter that his grandfather wrote to his grandmother in a concentration camp.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what like the title comes from is Alive with the Glory of Love. Yeah.
Damn. Becky Bronstein says they're one of my favorite bands ever. Is a Real Boy / Was a Real Boy is one of the best albums ever. And Max Bemis is wildly underrated lyricist. Their music will get you through heavy shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting that it's was a Real Boy.
That's the double album.
So that settles.
Yeah, there it is. So you're still right, dude.
Yeah. So in the end, I was perfect.
This relates to this very episode, but Matt Rosenblum says, sure, you have Is a Real Boy covered. What's not talked about often is the way in which early 2000s pop punk stars matured into the 2010s and after. In later albums, there's an interesting self-awareness of himself as an increasingly irrelevant pop punk star that is happier and also doesn't want to talk about the same themes he did when he was 20. You can see the same trajectory in Tom DeLonge, and his influence on Bemis cannot be understated. You can also see this trajectory of happier and more mature but less popular and less critically acclaimed pop punk in later Taking Back Sunday, Weezer, Dashboard, Paramore, and other stars of the genre. All right.
That's a good point.
Interesting, yeah.
Good point.
All right, I'll read like two more here. Mike Uline says, just reading this out loud, I heard Admit It in my head, forever burned in my brain, even though I haven't listened to the song in a decade. Yeah, that'll do that.
That'll get there. It's an earworm.
Josh O'Neill says, one time they laughed at me because I carded them at the bar I worked at and I told them it wasn't funny.
Man, fuck Josh O'Neill, dude.
That's great. That's a Josh O'Neill came
over to where I was staying in Cincinnati right after Meatloaf died and was like, we're going to watch all of Meatloaf's videos. And I was like, okay, dude. And then he had crazy facts about Meatloaf to just drop in. And every time he talks to me, I'm like, who hurts you in every band, dude? It's crazy. I love Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
Quick story that brings up. Last night, my friend and I got a drink at a bar. It was this like old school Irish New York bar. We just walked in. We just had a beer. And I pulled out my ID to show the guy. And he goes, if you show me that ID, I won't even let you in. Like, he was offended. He was offended that I would think that he would card me, I guess.
Yeah.
So then me and my buddy, we take a seat at the outdoor, at one of the outdoor tables, and he walks by and he goes, oh, look, it's the underage table. I was cracking my ass up.
I love that. I love an old, like, legit Irish part of that rules.
It was very funny.
All right, well. That brings us to the end of the show with our last segment where we rate the playlist out of 6. But before we do that, you get to give us your final thoughts on this band. Max Fine, what do you got for us?
It's nice to see that we've all grown up.
Sure.
And I think I'll leave it at that. I think they're good. They're like, again, I didn't really listen to a ton of them after this album. I liked a couple songs from a couple other albums, but this was the one for me. And I think it's exciting to see how much when you get older that your taste or your thoughts on music can change, even though you still like a band. Yeah. And I think that's exciting to think about.
Sure. Very well put here, Max. And thanks for coming on. And this will be on the Patreon.
I get it, dude. I'm in a hurry, brother. I'm sorry I can't be funny. I got to rush. All right. Oh, well, you want to be funny on the podcast.
This is like our special month where we have our friends who can't plan well come to the show.
Yeah, this is the worst theme we've ever had.
Schedule fuck-ups month.
That's fine. I get it.
I'm going higher than I would have thought coming into this, but I think I'm going to go with a solid 4.25 out of 6.
Hell I'll take a 4.25.
Out of 6. I did not admit it, really. The hell?
Damn, dude.
Tommy, what you got?
I mean, I love this album so much. I was very excited to re-listen to it. They're a 6 out of 6 for me. Yeah. I was so excited. It's one of those perfect nostalgia things for me that brings me back to a time. And I would have picked different songs, but that's something beautiful that I still like them all.
What songs would you have picked?
I think you have to put Alive with the Glory.
I didn't want
on.
To because I was like, this seems like the easy
it's
one.
It's the easy one, yeah.
Well, as somebody who had never heard them before would have loved to hear the fucking easy one.
Yeah,
man.
Sorry.
I would have put Whoa, because that's my favorite.
Whoa's great.
On there. And I think it would have been a nice little change of pace to have I Want to Know Your Plans. Got a love song in there. And then for the fourth, I am a big fan of The Feudal.
Dude.
That was another one for me. Yeah.
That is a I would have put. I thought about The Feudal or Spider Song. Song, yeah. But I
that shows how great the album is.
The album is
love it, and there's four different songs that we picked. Yeah.
Amazing. Max, you get to rate the playlist out of 6 as well.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 2. I'll give it a 6, dude.
Hell yeah,
I think it's a great, great album.
Max, you're a great, great guest. Give us your plugs on the way out.
Listen to In the Minivan, and then, findcomedy.com.
Yes, baby. All right, I will be in Winnipeg next month, and I will be in Houston, so get tickets if you live anywhere near those places. I'm doing my album in November. That is at Comedy Fort, so come out to that. People love that place. I'm excited to go. And then, I have a bunch of stuff next year. Comedy Attic, I'll be there in January. I'll be in Louisville in January, so come out to that. And check out me and Tim McLaughlin and Connor Delante's other podcast about football. We talk about mostly the Colts, but it's about the whole goddamn league. It's called the Three Horsemen Pod. Tommy, what you got?
I just got a date for my annual Christmas show at Union Hall. That'll be December 15th. Always my favorite thing to do. Favorite show of the year. And big news, just officially locked in. I will be taping a special at the Bell House.
Let's
January 12th, 2023.
Yo.
I'm going to need everyone who lives in New York listens to the show to come. We're trying to fill a big room and hopefully fill it twice depending on sales. So
let's go.
Links will be out soon for that. I'm very excited.
Get out to show. I might move back just for that. I forgot because we have a lot of Chicago people. I will be at Lincoln Lodge November 2nd. All right. We'll see you next week. Thanks again, Max.
Thanks, guys.
Keep it crispy. Bye.